Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. In this new year, we ended the old year in Psalm 84. We continued into the new year in Psalm 84. And we're not finished yet. The fifth verse of this most wonderful revelation of God and the psalmist's relationship to God has so much meaning. I want to continue. And that fifth verse says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in God, and in whose heart are the ways of God." Some might be saying, "Well, my Bible doesn't read that way." Well, you know, the job of a teacher is to enlighten and to edify, and by the authority that I've received from God, I'm filling in the pronouns. And it says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of God." God lamented that only Moses came to know his ways. The people, just his acts. And in this New Testament, in this gospelizing, that is the teaching of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and throughout the whole revelation of God, there are ways of God that he chose to reveal. Blessed, as we have now repeated for the third week, the Hebrew word is ashri, and it's most often translated happy, sometimes to be translated envied. When it is, that is, the Hebrew is translated into the Greek, which we call the Septuagint, the translators use the Greek word makaros. And we've given you the best definition. which is privileged recipient of God's favor. Even better put, of His grace, of His unmerited favor. And through the teaching last week, we called 2016 a year of hearing with trust. God said it. And to those who truly have received this grace, God has gifted them, has gifted us, has graced us with hearing, not only with hearing, but hearing with trust. The possibility exists that hundreds or thousands could hear this message. The reality is only some. Will hear it with trust. The obedience, the running to the voice, the, you know, that old word in the Hebrew, hasa, which means to run to the shelter of a mother bird's wings or the shelter of a rock, also includes with the expectation that it will shelter you. And as we are on this journey of faith called Christianity, God has some things to say with regards to first, in particular, to first fruits. I'd just like to take a side note and recognize some of you who have already responded with your first fruits. Exodus 23, in the 19th verse, it says, "The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring to the house of the Lord thy God. What's the house of the Lord thy God? If we go to Malachi, it says the tithes and the offerings are the Lord's, and it says, bring ye all the tithes into my house. What's the house? The house is the place where you're getting your teaching. My hesitation here is there may be some who are listening to this message who said, oh, there he goes now. He's starting to meddle. He's looking for gifts. Paul in the Philippian letter says, not that I desire gifts, but I desire fruit that might abound to your account. C.S. Lewis said, for God to be God, he has no needs. You know, he spoke and created these universes. God has no needs. But he says, bring into the house of the Lord thy God the first of the first fruits. Is that to meet a need that God has? It absolutely is not, but in his great grace and in the economy of God, he gave his people a sense of being needed. How's that? That the work of the ministry might continue. Now, to those of you who have ears to hear, that is, ears to hear with trust, God speaks in promises to those who bring the first fruits into his house. He says, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. And to the men and women whom God has called in Christ, that place that he has prepared is into eternity in Christ. And as we are on this journey, God says he'll send an angel to keep us in the way. The 21st verse of Exodus 23 says, "Beware of him and obey his voice." Do it with trust. Do what God is saying. The 22nd verse, "But if thou shalt indeed obey," here, "with trust and do all that I speak," listen to this, "then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto your adversaries." Do you know how powerful this promise of God is? Not even our enemy, not even our adversary, the devil or his demons, will be free from having God as their enemy and God as their adversary as we walk. In faith, as one whose strength is in God, as one in whose heart are the ways of God. "For mine angel shall go before you and bring you," and into the under the Amorites and Hittites and Perizzites and Canaanites and Hivites and Jebusites, "and I will cut them off." Now, God is speaking to his people Israel about bringing them into the promised land. He's talking about all the enemies that they're going to encounter. And the promised land was not heaven. But we know that the place God has prepared for Christians is eternity with him. This is using or demonstrating through Israel what God has intended eternally for his people. But he says he will cut off all these enemies. And ladies and gentlemen, this promise carries over to us today. And it says, "Of these who bring the first fruits unto the house of the Lord our God, and ye shall Serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And he says, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. He says, I will send my fear before you, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee, and I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out all these enemies. The ways of God, our ways are not the ways of God. God says, your ways are not my ways. But here in the bringing of first fruits, God gives us unbelievable promises. If we go to the 25th chapter of Exodus, God is about to give type and shadow of Jesus Christ in the instructions he gives in the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. But before he even begins to give that revelation, God says in the second verse, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that gives it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. Willingly, folks, this is not law. This is not law. This is a way of God. I dare say, some of you in this congregation of the God School can look in years gone by and might think at that time yourself crazy that you might be giving to a preacher of the word the way you are. But I tell you, it is that blessed condition that makeros, that privileged recipient of God's favor condition, that state of being that the chosen of God find themselves in, that in fact they do give willingly. In the 35th chapter of Exodus, in the 20th verse, it says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his Spirit made willing blessed is the man in whose heart are the ways of God, God stirred, who God stirred their heart, whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his Spirit made willing. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th and the 9th chapters, Paul, more than any place else, tells us what the grace, the life, the power, the implant, the substance, the dynamite, the force of God's life in us looks like. And he tells of the Philippians, the Philippian church, of whom there's a whole letter written, who that we've done teaching through that whole book. And for some, it would be well to go back and listen to that teaching. But Paul says in these 8th and 9th chapters, or describes, the one whose strength is in God, and in whose heart are the ways of God. And he describes a giver. Not only a giver, but a hilarious giver. Some of you are saying, you know, Don, you know, I've gone to church all my life, I never heard it put this way. Let me further tweak those traditions which have not presented the indwelling of the Spirit of God and what it looks like coming out. God, our Father, was a giver. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, His Son. That which was begotten of God. Who thought it, the King James says, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It meant being equal with God, didn't take anything away from God. But Jesus Christ, his son, gave his life. And the essence of what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is, if the Spirit of God dwell in you, if you are a privileged recipient of God's grace, it is going to outwardly manifest itself in giving. And Paul says, not grudgingly or not of a need. God has no needs. Well, I really don't want to do this, but, you know, it's the law of God. Up yours, it's no law. It is a manifestation of the Spirit of God that he has placed in us. King James says, cheerful giver. The Greek word is hilaros, from which we get our word hilarious. It's a most joyous activity to give to God. And though tradition has given the name Eucharist to the table of the Lord, and truly it is a place of thanksgiving, what Paul calls Eucharist is this response from us who have received God's favor, who are blessed. We become givers. And not only that, but all the promises that go along with not only the first fruits exhibited not only beginning in Exodus 23. I'm going to take a minute. I hope you have a pen and paper available. But I want you to look at Deuteronomy 18:4, at Deuteronomy 26:2, at Proverbs, the third chapter. That same God who revealed himself in Genesis is that same God who reveals himself through the whole book all the way to the last book called Revelation. That same God who from before the foundations of the world chose us out for himself in Christ that we might be blessed stands behind all these promises. And you say, well, Don, you know, I did for First Fruits last year and the year before. And, you know, they've really been kind of rough years, and I'm not seeing the manifestation of these promises that go along with First Fruits giving. I want to tell you something. If those of you who have and are participating in not only bringing the first fruits, but tithes and offerings to the house of the Lord your God, that is the place where you're getting your teaching, if life hasn't treated you so well, I want you to understand your giving is a result of God's Spirit in you and the faith that is trusting in the Word of God works for you a far more, how does Paul put it? 2 Corinthians. We said it last week, 4th verse, 17th verse, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Folks, we ain't home yet. But those who are on this journey, those who are passing through valleys of weeping, those who are giving God's way, Paul says, sixth chapter of Galatians, but let him that is taught in the word communicate, that is, jointly participate unto him that teaches him in all good things, material things. Be not deceived. God's not mocked in this giving of good things to the one that taught you. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If that's all you're giving attention to, if that's where you're putting your good things in your flesh, Paul tells you what the end is. You'll reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Well, Don, are you telling me that in all these years, in these decades, that you've been walking with the Lord, that you have been perfect in your giving? No, I'm not. There's nothing perfect about me. Say that, and there's nothing perfect about you. Say that which God sees, which is His Spirit. Paul says, don't grow weary in giving to the Lord, because God has eternal purposes. You know, in Malachi it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, and see if I don't pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. And if God was only speaking about fleshly, seen, temporal things in all these years that I have been faithfully participating in God's work, I haven't seen that blessing, except it manifests in now that which I have received of God, I want to deliver unto you, that is, the blessing of His Word. That is, that you recognize that, in fact, you are a peculiar people, as Peter says. Because not only like everybody else in the world do you have ears, but God has given you an ear that hears with trust. Now, we're not finished on this subject. to those men and women whose state of being is blessed, whose state of being is a privileged recipient of God's favor. There is more to be said on this subject, but for now, that's the God School for today.